Hi there. You're listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com, and we're very lucky to have James Jackson with us today. Now, James is from FindHotNiches.com, which is only one of his many, many sites that he has. And James has a very interesting history. He became intrigued by the possibilities of making money online in about 1995. And he went through the typical trials and tribulations that really many of us go through on our quest to turn the internet into our cash cow that we're all looking for. And really, James came at it from a bit of a different angle than most people do. He decided he was going to specialize in software, even though he has no programming experience himself. And today, James runs a very successful online business, and he's agreed to share his business model with us and take us on a journey from the past to the present, showing us how we can really follow in his footsteps and turn the internet into the cash cow that we all know that it can be. So I'd like to just begin by saying thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today, James.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Maybe what we can do is to start off with your history. If you can tell us where you came from and how you got to where you are today.
All right. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. In 1995, I believe, I was 17 years old. I got a four-year scholarship to play basketball at Southern Illinois University of Carbondale. And when I got there, I discovered the internet. And when I saw it, I thought to myself, you know, man, this is cool. And it really interested me. And it seemed to be what I thought it was: television, newspapers, and radio, all rolled up into one and then some. So I thought to myself, there's got to be a way, you know, to turn this thing into a business, you know, while there's still time. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's free online. It seemed like it was very low cost to get started. So I started dabbling in internet marketing, and I found Terry Dean's Net Breakthrough site, and I kind of took off from there.
Excellent, excellent. So where did you go? You start off with Terry Dean's site, and what was the next step?
Really, I got my base in there. I learned about copywriting first. I think it's important to learn about copywriting just to discover how, you know, the human mind works when it comes to buying things and selling things online. And so once I discovered, you know, how to write good copy and how to create attention to a product and, you know, make people desire it and make them want to buy it, then I figured out that there was a lot of competition in what I was trying to do. I was trying to sell those resale rights packs or, you know, an ebook that 1,000 other people were selling, and it just wasn't working out.
Right.
So I decided to try to figure out a way to inject some uniqueness into what I was doing. I figured the missing ingredient was everything I was doing was not unique. It's like, you know, how much is a diamond worth if everybody has one, you know?
Right.
It's not worth anything. So, but if you're the only one with this precious gem, and it doesn't even have to be a gem, as I'll, you know, get into later, people see it as being rare. And then, you know, if you can make one unique thing about a product, you can sell a lot more of it.
So if you take a product then, for example, and add a bit of scarcity to it by doing what?
What I really started doing was recreating some of the products I saw and adding in some things, adding in what they were missing, or actually recreating some things and not adding in anything at all, and just adding me to it, just adding my name to it, adding graphics, because I did graphics in college. That was one thing I learned how to do in my time that I had taken to be a graphic design major. And so I would just try my best to make the package look good and make it look professional, and people seem to really like that. Even though the product that I was selling wasn't totally unique, you know, it had a different look or a different feel to it.
So you take a resale rate product, like you said, that, you know, 1,000 other people have, and your angle then would be to create a completely different site for that resale rates product. Instead of taking the resale rates product site that comes with the package, you recreate the graphics and the copywriting for that site. Is that right?
Yes, and even the product, which at the time it was a piece of software, I had a programmer write a whole new piece of code and compile it into a software for me so that I could own that, so that I could do whatever I wanted with that, and because I think it's important to have ownership. You know, like people like Donald Trump and these real estate guys say, they say, you know, wealth comes from ownership, owning things, and not, you know, borrowing them from somebody else. You have to be the sole owner. In my eyes, that's, I'm kind of, I got this thing about control, so I like to be in control. Like, if I wanted to take the software and sell the resale rights to it, I could sell it, you know. If I wanted to sell the code to it, I could sell the code because I owned it, you know. With a resale rights product, you can't do that because you don't own it. You don't. You're not the owner of it. You're not the creator of the product.
Right. So if you take me on a step-by-step process, then if I, for example, today I buy product X. It's a piece of software.
Mm-hmm.
I buy product X, but it's a resale rights product that, like you said, thousands of other people have. Once I've got that sitting on my hard drive, how do I get it to be a unique product? What's my next steps?
Well, there's lots of things you can do. what you can add a supplemental manual or a report to the software, because a lot of people make, you know, really cool products, even if it's an ebook or a software, but they may be missing something from it. You could use Camtasia, which is fairly expensive. On the expensive side, you're getting started out, or you can use, I believe it's a screen cam generator. Or there's a another one that's floating around right now. It's a resale rights product. It's a screen capture software, and I can't think of the name right now, but I'll get it to you when I can think of it. But
okay.
I think that one is like $20. And say you make a video of how to use this piece of software, or take the steps of an ebook and outline it, you know, in a video, so it makes it easier for people to see that. And then you have some uniqueness that you've injected into that product, you know. And you have a different point to sell on. You have a unique selling point then. And I think that's important. You have that unique selling point.
Excellent. So do you redo the graphics and everything as well, or just add the video so that you've actually added, like you said, now you've got a completely different USP that you've actually taken and increased the value of the product by adding your two cents worth, you could say.
Oh, you got to excuse me here. I think I got a touch of bronchitis.
Sure.
Like I said, so... You can do the graphics if you want to. If you don't know how, you don't have the money to pay somebody to do that, mm-hmm. I would just do you know, a small report or a video, because what you can do is you can play up the video or the report before you even introduce the other, you know, the product in your sales process. So say I'm sending out an email to my list. I say, hey, check out this cool video. It's about this, and I don't even have to mention the resale rights product yet. But when you go to see the video, the sales letter is really crafted from, you know, that sales letter I got from the resale rights pack, and I just add in blurbs about, you know, how this video makes it better, you know, and people seem to like that because they may not know exactly, you know, steps that are in the ebook, or if some of it may be, you know, a little tedious to do. So if you make a video, people can see that. Or an extra report that people can read, you know, and pick up some more ideas of something that you had while you were reading it. You know, because I think that everybody has ideas, and everybody has something that they can put into something that's helpful.
Exactly.
And really what I'm trying to do is help people, so that's what I aim to do.
So what have you done then? If you take that from where you're going right now, you've got the piece of software, you've got your piece of resale software, you do a video on how to actually... use the piece
okay.
of software.
Uh-huh.
Then, is your focus in your sales letter then that video that you almost sell the video? But here's a video to show you how to build a list, for example.
Yes.
And in the video, you're showing people how to build a list using this piece of software, and then you say, by the way, this software is also included in this package.
Yes, exactly. It sucks people right in.
Okay.
Because they believe you now. They see it. They believe you. And it's like, whoa, you know, that looks pretty, you know, when you see something and they go, that's all it is, you know,
yep.
That's it, it's pretty easy, I can do that. But when you write somebody and you say, hey, you can build this list of 15,000 people, they go, I can't do that. It just seems out of their reach. But when you make a video and you make it and you show them that how you do it, and you go, hey, this part took 5 minutes, this part took 10, and this next part took, you know, 2 minutes, that's 17 minutes. And now I've got this set up, you know, and people go, I can do that, you know. They
right.
can look at it. They can decide for themselves. That you basically, you're helping them prove it to themselves with the video.
That is a great, absolutely great new angle to do with resale rates products. That's fantastic. Something else that you mentioned, maybe that we can cover, is the copywriting aspect. Do you have a formula to go through to write your sales letter when you sit down to actually put that together?
No, I don't. I think the first thing that I try to always start off with is to figure out what's my biggest value that I'm giving. What's the biggest benefit that this customer is going to get out of this product? You know, if I got a product, you know, that helps you write copy, you know, my headline is always going to be the biggest benefit I can come up with, the biggest promise, or the biggest, you know, the biggest value I can offer. And then immediately, as soon as I can in the sales letter, I try to add some credibility to that. So if I say, hey, I can help you build a list of 15,000 people in under 30 days, guaranteed, as soon as that sales letter starts, I want to start proving that to you. You know, maybe with some testimonials, maybe with some screenshots, maybe with a video, you know. On my site, Keyword Station, which is a software with about 7.7 million keyword phrases in it, and I up front I state that, you know, grab this free piece of software with 7.7 million keywords in it. And I put in the time to write a full-page sales letter for that, even though it was free, because I wanted to get across that this thing had major value in it. You know, it's not just a simple squeeze page. It's also a full-blown sales letter. And I think that sales page opt-in conversion rate is at about 70%.
Wow.
But there's also a video on it, you know, where I show it to you, and that video redirects back to, of course, the sales letter. And people opt in like crazy at that site.
So do you feel it's the video that's creating such a high conversion rate for that site?
I think it's the video plus the value of the product, because there's a lot of products that are similar to mine that cost $200, you know, $300.
Uh-huh.
But I decided that by making it free, I could win people over, you know, make
Absolutely.
Them like me at one time, get them on my list at one time. And as many of us have seen, you know, here in the past couple of years, have a one-time offer at one time. That converts well. I get many people email me that say that they bought the one-time offer because I gave them such a good value up front for free. So
wow.
It works out well.
That's great. So let's look at Keyword Station then. Is that something that you created on your own, or how did that come about?
Yeah, it's a piece of software that I created, you know, on my own with the help, of course, of a programmer.
Uh-huh.
So...
Can we go right way, way back to the very, very beginning when this thing, you first came up with the idea of Keyword Station?
Yeah.
How did that come about? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, I had started a membership site called Find Hot Niches, and where I was doing keyword research, you know, and I was you know, having these lists of basically markets where people were spending money, you know. You know, I would have a, you know, the weight loss is a market, or paintball is a market, and, you know, home decor is a market. And I would go out and research all these keywords and, you know, put them into a CSV file or a text file.
Mm-hmm.
So basically people wouldn't have to go out and brainstorm, you know, what, you know, if they were looking to get into new niches for, you know, maybe to generate some AdSense profits or create new, just new sources of revenue. Affiliate programs, you know, how do you, you know, you got to have a place to target, you know. If you don't have a target, you really can't do anything. So that was the basis of that. And people, you know, came to that site like gangbusters, and they liked it. So I was like, you know, I'll make a piece of software that, you know, I compile all my information into, and I'll sell it. And then as time went on, I was reading some information by the late and great Corey Rudell,
mm-hmm.
where he said, if you want to build a list and you build it fast, create a product that has extreme value and just give it away. People will find you. You know, people will start posting about it. People will start linking to it if it you know, has an extreme amount of value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are doing now for Keyword Station. They're linking to it. I see it in blogs. I see it on websites. You know, hey, check out this software. You know, it's great. You can search it, you know. It's easy to use. It has like 7.5 million keywords in it. You can take them out. You can, you know, do all this stuff. And, you know, I think that's built my list by about 8,000 people in the past month.
Wow. Now, how long has that taken to get to that point where you're made, you're putting 8,000 people in a month?
You mean how long did it take me to create the whole site, put it together, and things like that?
Yeah, like how long have you been giving away Keyword Station?
Since December, I believe, 14th.
So since December 14th? Wow.
2006.
So yeah. You're looking at maximum 2 months, and you're already creating 8,000 people a month?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So how? Let's go back then. Keyword Station, you got the idea from findhotniches.com.
Yes.
You've got all these keywords that you're already researching.
Yes.
How in the world did you research 7.5 million keywords?
I can't really tell you how, because then everybody, I would have a lot of competition.
Okay.
But
okay.
It wasn't as hard as you think. And it was done with software.
Okay.
So, you know, and I kind of just told my programmer what I wanted it to do, and he did it for me, and he gave it back to me, said, you know, here you go, it's done. And I think that piece of software, that to date is the most I have spent on a software project.
How much was that?
I mean, to me, it was relatively low. I mean, it was $1,000.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, $1,000 for 8,000 subscribers, and
exactly.
You know, $20,000 in income from the back end,
yep.
Or the one-time offer. I mean, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Exactly. Now you're talking about Keyword Station cost $1,000.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
For me to get that developed into the total software that it is.
Okay.
Was about $1,000. Yeah.
So you've got Find Hot Niches, then you've got this other secret piece of software that,
yes.
That pulls out the 7.5 million keywords.
Yes.
Once you've got 7.5 million keywords, do you just give that to the programmer and say, I want my software to do something, or what's the next step once you've got the 7.5 million keywords?
Well, when you develop software, it's kind of like a map. If you want the software to do something, mm-hmm. You should know exactly what that is and simply state that. So say I say, hey, you know, I want this software to list all the topics that because every file name I had a file name, and in this file name it would expand into a list of, you know, 300 or 400 keywords based on that topic. So I tell my programmer, you know, the first thing that we need is a list of all the topics. Then when somebody clicks on that topic, it will open a new window, and they will see all the keywords listed there. So it's kind of like a map. And you know, if you want to create some software and you're just starting out, my advice would be to create something that's very, very simple. And actually, even find something that's already made, and spend $20 or $15 getting it remade at Scriptlance or Rent-A-Coder, where you can hire programmers. You know, from all around the world, they'll bid on your project. And just to go through the process, and even after you do that, you still got something you own,
yeah.
You know, and you know you can know exactly you know how programmers, some of them think, you know, how to deal with, you know, some of the bumps you come across, and you can make it really, really simple by stating, you know, I just want this one piece of software that will record audio, you know, from my you know, website or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And if you got something that you own or you bought before that you see that, you know, somebody has already made it, you can kind of look at it and step through it and see how it works, you know. You can see that, okay, if I press the file button, a new menu opens and I have, you know, save as, you know, and all these things, you know. You can kind of mind map it out.
Okay.
And one thing I suggest, you know, when you're trying to figure out how you want your graphic interface organized, draw it out. Grab a piece of paper, grab a ruler, draw a big box, start, you know, drawing other, you know, buttons, boxes, you know, windows. I mean, make it a diagram. You know, it's kind of like all the stuff we learned in grade school, you know, or, you know, high school, how to make, you know, charts, diagrams, and outlines.
Yeah.
And if you can do that well, you can create a piece of software. I mean, it's really that simple. And when you run into a bump, I mean, don't get worried. Like, you know, if you don't know exactly how to do something,
yeah.
Tell your programmer, like, this is what I want to happen. I don't know exactly how to do it. Can you do that?
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, there's people out there that are wizards at creating programs, and they'll go, I can do just about anything, you know. I know a couple of programmers I tell them, hey, look, I don't know if this is possible, but this is what I want to happen.
Yeah.
And they go, Sure, okay. We'll have it done in 2 weeks. You know?
Yeah.
So it's, it's not as difficult as people think.
What exactly do you give to your programmer then? I mean, you can draw as many pictures as you can think of and say, okay, I want this tab here and this button here and that button there.
You give it to him.
And then you give it to him. How detailed do you actually get into saying, you know, I want to press this button and I want a new window to open? Like, we'll take keyword station so we have a concrete example.
Okay, yeah.
If when you're developing keyword station, do you have an outline, a very, very detailed outline that you give to the programmer with your pictures? Or how do you get product you want?
Yes, I do. I can dig it up and give it to you or anybody on this call. I can give it to you. I'm going to block out a few things.
But it will
basically be, an outline of, how I did it.
Okay.
You can look at it and you can see, like, okay, all right. And I actually took it so far as to go into Photoshop and make a graphic interface on my own and kind of use arrows and, point to these things. Now, even if you can't use Photoshop, like I said, you can draw,
Yeah.
Ruler. It doesn't have to be great. It can be crude as long as you get your point across about what you want to happen. And even if it doesn't happen then, I mean, only thing that's standing between you and getting the project finished is time. So you just have to make sure that you and your programmer both understand what it is that you want so he can do it the right way.
Okay. So then that's great. If you can send us the outline, then I can post that on the site as well so that people can actually see what you started out with for Keyword Station. But do you have a really, kind of 3 or 5 point little formula that you use to say, introduction, here's what I want, point one, point two, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I do. The very first thing I do is I write a purpose, because if I can explain the purpose of the software first before I even get into outlining it, the programmer will have a great understanding of why I need it. That's what the purpose is. It's the why I need this, what it's for, what it does, and how I need it to be done. That's in the outline, how I need it to be done. But the purpose statement would be like, okay, hey, I've got this database of 7.7 million keywords. There's lots of people online who are interested in keywords, so I want to create a software. I mean, I tell them this. I don't worry about them stealing my idea. I don't worry about them copying me, because 99.9999 and so on percent of the programmers don't know anything about marketing.
Okay.
And they will have absolutely, they won't know how to market the product. I don't want to be cocky, but I could give it to them and say, here, do what you want with it, and they wouldn't be able to do anything with it still.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they just don't understand the process of marketing.
So whenever you're at the beginning, then you don't really worry about non-disclosure agreements or anything like that?
Not normally, but on Rent-A-Coder,
yeah.
I believe Rent-A-Coder has all that built. I just started using Rent-A-Coder. It's great. Because one of the stipulations of Rent-A-Coder is that the programmer must give you the full rights to the software when it's completed. You have the right to do anything with the code, the anything with it. And on Scriptlands, you don't. You have to negotiate with the programmer for that.
Okay.
So on Rent-A-Coder, and Rent-A-Coder is strictly for software.
Right. Yep.
So everything at Rent-A-Coder is really built in. I urge anybody who's interested in creating software to jump over there, create a little simple, program and read, those terms that Rent-A-Coder have up there, because it's really designed to protect, in my opinion, it's designed to benefit the person who's getting a piece of software created, from what I can see.
Excellent.
So,
okay, so I interrupted you there. You were creating the outline for your programmer. You went from your purpose. What's after your purpose?
And after the purpose statement, we dive straight into the outline. I usually start off with a bullet point or a number one, like one. I need, first I need you to, be able to import all this stuff into a software that will be, you got to decide on if it's going to be a desktop software or a web-based software, which a web-based software, is it written in PHP, all these languages. And don't worry, to be honest, don't worry about the language. Just make sure it's PHP or, one of the languages that are all over the place. Like most website servers run PHP.
Right.
And, most of these guys, in your purpose statement, you're going to say something like, I want to distribute this to, a lot of people. So make it compatible with, most web servers, how, it can be installed. And a lot of them will come back and say, I'm going to write this in PHP. You know, it's the most, you know, widely used, you know, whatever. And for desktop, it's a little bit different. I think there are some different languages programmers use, but they all work the same once they deploy on a desktop.
Okay.
So you just have to decide. And that's all built in the Scriptlance and Rendercoder. You decide if it's desktop or web-based and how you want it to behave and such.
Okay.
But the purpose statement will really help, you know, the programmer get an idea of what you need, and it's basically kind of like copywriting. You need to kind of get across your point,
right?
You know, with words. You need to make him understand what you need and why you need it. And once that happens, the programmer will, you know, be on the project and say, "I can do this." Now, when programmers start responding to you, a lot of them will just respond with, "I can do this project." You don't want that. That's not what you want. I always put, I like to call them, you know, are you paying attention, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
I will put in my project, if you read this project description, don't reply with a one-liner like, "I can do this." Tell me exactly how you'll do it. And so then I know when people start bidding if they actually read my project or not.
Right.
Because you don't want to get stuck with somebody who can't do the project. You're wasting time. Your money gets tied up in escrow because all these sites use escrow.
Yeah.
And I would choose Rendercoder over Scriptlance because Rendercoder has a way get your money back out of escrow, right, through a process, because you can go and say, "Hey, this didn't happen. This didn't work out." Scriptlance, it's a little bit more complex or harder to get the money out of escrow. The okay. money doesn't go anywhere. You just can't use it. It's still at, you know, Scriptlance.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. So you don't want to get your money tied up that way, and you want to make sure that the programmer actually took the time to read your project, and they're not just mass bidding on thousands of projects until they get one, and then they read and go, you know, and then that now they're trying to, you know, hack some piece of crappy software together.
Right. Yep. Okay.
So yeah, I use like a "Are you paying attention?" type clause in my
excellent
projects.
Excellent. So then from the purpose, after the purpose, you go into, you said, the bullet points.
Yeah, I dive right into, excuse me, I dive right into an outline. And it's kind of hard for me to give everybody a general idea of what an outline will be because each software project is so different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, let's use Keyword Station because I think that's a perfect example because it's something that you've already done.
Okay.
And in there, and I'm just thinking if we can actually go through a few of the points here before people
okay.
even look at the outline, what would
okay.
the next, you've done the purpose, what would the next kind of bullet points be?
The bullet point would be that it needs to be run on a desktop
okay.
because I wanted to distribute it to people on their desktops,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to run as fast as possible. When you have a database mm-hmm. that you want to turn into a piece of software, there's lots of ways to, you know, make software, and one of them is to take a bunch of information and make it organized. So the Keyword Station is an organizer type of piece of software. And when you organize it, you want it to, you know, not bog down people's computers, not lock up their computer, because that's a lot of information.
Right.
And I think the program ended up being 200 megabytes.
Wow.
And that was down, you know, from what I had before, which was 1,000 megabytes, which just wasn't going to cut it. You know, I know people got broadband, but I'm like, you know, come on, man. It's 1,000 megabytes. It'll take you like 2 hours to download it.
Yeah.
And then if you're on dial-up, you'll never get it. Well, if you're on dial-up, you still, you know, may never get it, but I'm trying to work around that with a CD shipment type thing for like
right.
$1 or whatever. But, yeah, I wanted to, you know, let them know that it needs to work fast. It needs to do what I say it's going to do.
Right.
And in my bullet points, I'm writing out what it needs to do for the programmer, but at the same time, I kind of figured this out over time, that I'm kind of at the same time writing out bullet points that can go on my website. You know,
right.
I want to be able to extract a set of data by searching. You know, so I got a browse tab and a search tab. In the browse tab, you can see all the topics. You can click on one of the topics. It'll open up, and you can see all the keywords on that topic. Or you can go in the search, and you can type in any keyword you want, and more than likely it's in that database somewhere. And it'll just yank out everything that contains that word or that phrase. And, you know, So that was my first bullet point. I need it to be fast. It needs to be on, you know, work as fast as possible. It needs to run on a desktop, not bogged on anybody's computer, and I need it to be browsable and searchable. And then I kind of worked, I kind of threw things in there as I went along, because some stuff I didn't have outlined that I really didn't think of, and I thought about it later. And when you do that, programmers, they know what they're doing. You know, if they've already written the basics of a software, and you say, hey, I want to add this so that, you know, something new happens. Like, I wanted to add a jump to field. And be creative. If you want to name a field something, or if you want to name a feature something and you don't know what to call it, just call it what it is. And that's what I did. I put a jump to field in the browse section. I wanted to be able to jump to any keyword in the topic list, because there's 42,000 topics that expand into 7 million keywords. And if you got to scroll through that to find what you want, you might not be that happy. So
right.
I said, hey, put a new a blank space in there. It's called a field, the white space where you type something in, and call it jump to. So when I type in this, I can jump to a topic. So, you know, don't loosen up, you know, get the creative juices flowing. Uh-huh. If you need some help, ask somebody, you know. You know, email me, say, hey, James, I'm making this software, and you guys can email me if you want, admin@findhotniches.com, and say, I'm making this software. I don't know exactly what to call this or how to do this, and I can give you some pointers on, you know, what to tell the programmer to do. So an outline, and once you learn how to write an outline, from that point on, you're going to be able to create a software, you know, anytime you want.
Well, I think that's where we're going to hugely benefit by being able to see the actual outline that you did for Keyword Station.
Yeah.
So that we can use that as a template and really say, okay, next, you know, the next piece of software, here it is, boom, 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 and I've got the template in front of me.
Yep.
Now, you also, something else that I think is quite remarkable is you have a bit of a formula for getting programmers to work for free for you.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that?
Well, it differs for a lot of programmers, because what you want to do first is just like a joint venture between you and I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen you around for a while, you've seen me around for a while,
mm-hmm.
And then we start, you know, I email you, you email me, and now we're on the phone doing this interview. We have somewhat of a relationship now.
Exactly.
And the same thing goes with anybody. So when you want a programmer, you don't want to go, hey, can you make this for free? You know, they're going to go, hell no, I can't make it for free. You need to pay me.
Yeah.
But what you want to do is you want to start a relationship. If you've got a list, tell him, hey, you know, look, here's what we can do. If you can create this piece of software, I've got this list that's, you know, known for buying, you know, software that's targeted towards this, you know, area. If you can make something that fits in with that, or if you have something already, you know, I can set it up and sell it to my list so that you'll know that, you know, I have an outlet to make some revenue with whatever you create. If you don't have a list, there's lots of people who do. So you can kind of become the JV broker, as they say, between the programmer and other people who have lists. You can, like I said, you can pay them $15 or $20 to do the program. You know, any program for you that you've already got written out. But after that, what you're doing between this process is you're talking back and forth with this guy. You know, and It's not sneaky, but I kind of make it a point, you know, when I'm on MSN Messenger or doing the back and forth chat with them, and say, hey, you know, when do you think you can have this done? I got about 20,000 customers that are waiting that need this done.
Right.
You know,
yep.
He might think to himself, 20,000 customers, but you leave it at that. You don't press the issue at that point.
Yeah.
You wait a little bit down the road, and you know, maybe the project is almost close to being done. It's like, hey, by the way, do you have any other stuff that you got made already that I could possibly sell, you know, and we can do a partnership? And then if they're interested, they'll go, well, what's a partnership? You know, what do you mean? You know, and you kind of suck them in, you know.
Right.
It's,
yeah.
And you kind of become their friend. You become their buddy, you know.
Cool.
And it's just like, you know, any other type of relationship where if I feel that I trust you, like I got my programmer now, it's one guy I use all the time. We trust each other now, and I've given him money up front. He hadn't even got started yet, but
right.
You know, a month later. But that's after, you know, a year working together. A month later, he comes back and he's done. Or I say, hey, you know, can you make this? He'll start on it. I haven't given him the money yet, but he's done. He's like, I got it done. Just send me the payment, you know. And that's a relationship that we have now. And I never, you know, stiff him. He never stiffs me. And when you find somebody like that you can trust like that, keep them. you know.
That's gold.
And I'm not saying you have to do that things the way I do them. That's just the, you know, kind of type of guy I am. If I trust you, I trust you, and, you know, you get the job done consistently, I have no reason not to trust you, and, you know, that's the how it is.
You can actually.
It's really about building a relationship, and, you know, like I said, if you can JV with them, if you see a programmer out there, check out their profile. A lot of these guys on these freelance sites, they have their profile listed, and they got lists of stuff they've already done. So, you know, browse through their, you know, list of stuff they've done. If you see something that piques your interest and they've already got the software done, you know, say, hey, you know, can I, you know, create a sales package for this product and try to sell it? I doubt if many of them will say no, you know.
Exactly.
So
you actually can go out, like you said, go to Rent-A-Coder, for example, go through these guys' pages, find a product, because like you mentioned before, these guys aren't marketers, they're just programmers.
Right. They're not marketers.
They might have a really, really hot product there that could be worth thousands of dollars.
Right.
That they're just kind of sitting on because they don't know what to do with it, but that's kind of like their little pet project that they developed it and they're really proud of it, and if you come along as a marketer and say, hey, let's get together, let me see what I can do, if I can sell it, then we split the profits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win-win situation.
It's a win-win.
So there's no, you're not paying for the software, they're not paying for the marketing.
Right.
You just basically bring your strengths together and you could really have an explosive event.
It's a win-win. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And another thing you can do is a lot of these programmers that are interested in marketing, they hang out in the forums you hang out in. Make a post, you know. In the Warrior Forum, I know that there's a place for, you can post for JVs.
Uh-huh.
So make a JV post there. Hey, I'm looking for a programmer to JV with. If you got a list, you know, say, hey, I got a list of 15,000 people. If you're a programmer, you know, I want to JV with you, and I bet you'll get some, you know, replies. If you don't have a list, you know, go out and establish a relationship with somebody who does already, mm-hmm. and tell them that, hey, I can get a programmer to create products for us. And even though you don't have one yet, you know, say, hey, I can, you know, it might take you some time, and then, you know, if it doesn't, you know, if it falls through, you know, you still don't lose anything.
Exactly.
You know, so I think you got to have some, just a small plan and a lot of confidence, not the other way around. Not a big plan and, you know, a huge team of people working for you. You just got to have a small plan and, you know, confidence that you can follow the basic steps of, you know, building that relationship and doing the marketing. So, because a lot of us that will listen to this call, we know a lot more than, you know, we give ourselves credit for.
Yep.
You know, as far as when it comes to writing some copy and doing some marketing, if you don't, you can learn all that stuff. You know?
So if you're, just to kind of go back to this joint venture brokering idea, you've got, like you said, you know somebody that has a list. Let's use us, for example.
Right.
I know you have a list of over 20,000 people.
Right.
I have a programmer that I know of that can create this awesome piece of software, or he's
right.
already created it.
Right.
How am I getting paid in the middle?
How are you getting paid in the middle? There's lots of ways to get paid in the middle.
Okay.
One way you can get paid in the middle is by incorporating things into this application that will build your list for you, i.e. an advertisement or a pop-up, you know. And if you get the software created, you let the programmer know that, hey, look, what we're going to do first is we're going to try to build a list. They might not agree with that. They might want, you know, more of the money up front, which is fine, because you got ClickBank that splits, you know, checks or funds or whatever. But the main thing I want people to understand, and I didn't cover this before, I totally forgot, the product is never the asset. The asset is the customer database or the list that you can build through the product. That is why I gave Keyword Station away for free. Because the product itself is not the asset. It's not my baby. It's a good piece of software, but it's not, you know, the last piece of software I'll create.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a means to an end.
It's a means to an end. So look at it as a means to an end, not that I have to sell 30,000 copies of this thing so I can get rich tomorrow.
Yeah.
But what you can do is create a cool kick-butt piece of software and give it away and create a list of 30,000 people in, you know, 6 months.
Right.
And guess what? Now you can say, hey, I need X program made. Now when you sell it, you know you got a guaranteed market to sell it to, a guaranteed avenue to push the product through. You know, so it's not the asset. So I got off track here. What were we talking about?
That was actually a beautiful way to go. Is really to not to focus on the software, although you're focusing on the software, but
right,
the actual...
exactly.
What is the software doing for you?
What is it doing for me? Okay, that's the value of it. The value for the people who get it is that it performs this task that you promised that it would do. Mm-hmm. The value for you is that you can incorporate all these little cool little things into a software because, I mean, the Internet is built on technology. If you want, I believe in keyword stationers, an alert system. Anytime anybody uses that software, if I want to send an alert, just like Microsoft, that little box that pops up,
yeah,
I can send an alert that says, hey, cool new resale rights product at blah, blah, blah. Click here. When you open that software, down in the right-hand corner of your screen, you see a little box glide up and say, note from James or message from James. Cool new piece of software to enhance keyword stations. Click here. You know?
Ah, cool.
Yeah. I got 10,000 people downloaded the thing. I don't know how many use it, but I can see how many times that alert box get triggered, and it's like over 5,000 times. And right now, all I got in there is, you know, welcome to Keyword Station version 1.0. You know, I haven't even used it yet, but it's just always there. It's, you know, you can build a lot of different mechanisms into it that will build your list and get people to come back to your site or whatever you want them to do. You know, like I said before, like the Internet was radio, TV, and newspaper all rolled up into one. And when you make these pieces of software, you know, you can incorporate little tidbits of that into them.